proper.
It just started now, ladies and gentlemen. 15 minutes with Jared and Joe.
It's our 15-minute radio show with lasers, but no bells and no whistles.
That is true. Yeah. And we were just discussing radio and how it's kind of doing the same old thing. Maybe that's not what we want to talk about today. But
what do you want to talk about?
Well, anything, but I'm just saying that's interesting that I think it is interesting. Radio's kind of doing the same old thing.
It's doing the same old thing. And, you know, I retired, how many years ago from radio? 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I've thought about trying to go back. But, you know, when I've dropped those hints, nobody has exactly beat my door down.
I'm shocked.
I know. Me too. But I did say goodbye.
You know, goodbye.
Maybe they think I'll do that again. Just, you know, get my panties in a wad and say goodbye.
Ooh, that's the best part about anything.
I know.
So I remember when I quit in Colorado Springs, it was the ultimate thing because they didn't like me, then they kind of liked me, and then I did well in the ratings, and they were like, well, this is what they said in Colorado Springs, we don't subscribe to Arbitron ratings. We judge our talent by if they can win the Colorado Broadcasters Broadcaster of the Year. And so I got that, too.
Oh, and then, my Lord.
I know.
And you got that, too, and they still weren't happy with you?
And then I had to quit because we were getting married to come up here to go broke. I had no idea that's what I was going to do, but... When you're two single people living in an apartment and your total expenses are like $500 rent and you're each making $35 each and all of a sudden you have a house and like, oh, and a wedding you just paid for, like, oh, what did we do? But that was such a good feeling, the panty wad and leaving.
When you got your panties all in a wad,
yeah,
and left.
Like, oh, well, you sure you don't want to stay? And I'm like, hey, I dreamt of this. Which just shows you how misplaced my priorities are. My dream should be success. And money and, you know, getting a Calgon bath from Natalie Portman, that kind of thing. But no, the dream that I fulfilled was having them like me just enough that they wanted me to stay.
And they weren't going to get you.
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you and then be unemployed for a long time and then call the station every once in a while to talk to people to see how things are going, hoping that it's not well.
That was your diabolical plan.
Have you ever gone back to a workplace and you're kind of disappointed at the reception?
Oh, yeah. It's like, hi. And you've been gone maybe 3 years and they all remember you, but they're like, oh, hi.
Hey, we've moved on. And in my head, I'm like, wait a second. It was supposed to fall to pieces. And I was integral. I did everything. I ensconced myself like a hungry tick. Why?
Well, you know, the best part of breaking up, whether it's with a boyfriend or girlfriend or a job or whatever, is just getting to say and think, you don't get to be with me.
Yeah. That's the best is when the ex sees you and you're looking great and you got some hottie in you. That's really never happened to me. I mean, it's happened to me seeing the woman that I let go or whatever with some handsome
stuff. But you've
never
been able to do that to someone.
Nah,
else.
Not done the thing. Well, you know, I have done the thing, but they're always like jealous stalker women that I really didn't want to be with, mm-hmm. You know, but then they leave like 47 messages in a row on my phone. I saw you with her. What are you doing with her? So that just to that level, have you ever been able to pull off the jealous switch, being with someone else, hoping that the person that you left sees you with that person and gets upset?
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, I haven't done that. Yeah. I can honestly say I haven't done that.
I think sometime in the future, this is a whole box set, but sometime in the future, we need the stories of Joe's relationships.
Well, here's what I have been able to do, is uh-huh. just decide that it's not working and just walk away.
Yeah.
Just walk away. No second thoughts, just this is what I'm doing.
That's good.
You know, I've just been able to, and you know, they stand there with their hands out like, how can you just walk away?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, watch me. You messed up. You don't get to be with me.
Ooh, wow.
I know that's cold, isn't
no
it?
No second chances?
Well.
They were probably on their third or fourth chance. I'm
yeah, guessing. They were.
Yeah. Well,
because you always give them a second chance.
Right. Yeah.
You always do. But, you know, this is why I like playing around on the internet so much, is because I can't keep doing the same thing that we were all doing in radio.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't make any sense. It's the definition of insanity. So I like just messing around on the internet now. I've got how many websites, and we do this little
this thing here,
and I'm happy as I could be.
And it's funny, the radio doing the same thing. You know, I'm at Dial Global, and a lot of talent there, but it's a lot of the same guys doing the same stuff. And we're all in temporary studios right now because they're building these really sexy, fancy ones, which kills me that I'm putting in my notice there because these new ones are beautiful.
But you'll still be doing the crazy stuff.
And we're all in these old offices that are all lined up together. It's like Dilbert's nightmare. It's this office. And we have these narrow walls between us, and we're all doing shows for separate formats for multiple stations.
It's like a puppy mill.
It is like a puppy mill for a bunch of barking old DJs. And I'll stop talking for a moment, and I can hear all these guys, and it's all the same old barfing radio stuff. Mm. And anyway, you had a panty on her head. What are you kidding me? We'll be back. And it's just kind of like this.
Good butted.
Hey, how you doing? You wouldn't blame it. It's 7:18. And if you're not in radio, when you hear the DJ say it's 7:18, you're in for some hijinks. Because that is the break where all programmers say this is where you got to do something good. And so, and this is what's probably wrong with DJs and radio in general, is once they hear they have to do something good, they stop being themselves and they try to be Mr. DJ person.
They try too hard.
Yeah, and that was a big problem with the early part of my career. But yeah, so at 7:10, you're going to hear a break where they're like this. They're natural and, hey, thanks for listening. I tell you what a crummy day in traffic. So I hope you get to work. And when you do, you can all call me up because we're going to be giving away, you know, something. You know, something that's just natural. And you're like, oh, well, that's cool. That's my friend. And then all of a sudden, hey, 7:18. How you doing? Let's tell you what. Boom, 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 boom. It's time for Wacky Criminal Stories. You ain't going to believe this. You ain't going to believe this. I'm repeating things over and over. I'm going to say the time 3 times 5 till 7. It's 55 after 6. How you doing?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh, and usually it's the announcement for the song of the day, and you'll tell them the times they can hear it. I mean, it's the same stuff over and over.
And it's funny, I got into podcasting right after I left, you know, your show, and I thought I'm going to be a super stud at this because, you know, I was successful in Farmington and Durango, and I started listening to these other podcasts, and these people were so damn good because they didn't give a damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I say something that
did you give a damn?
Well, I gave a damn, and I think there was some that kind of became popular with the podcasting community because they were like, ooh, he's a radio guy and it's podcasting. And they all like this kind of this professional delivery. But I don't think I really hit like some of the real popular podcasts. And I would listen. Somebody would say, oh, you have to listen to Jeffrey and Jenny. They're so wonderful. They do it out of their apartment. And I'd listen, and it'd just be two people. Like, hey, how you doing, Jenny? I don't know. Did you like the eggs this morning? Yeah, it was great sex last night. You know, some, you know, marriage show or whatever. And they were just being real. They were just a slice of life presented unto the...
And listening. What were you doing?
I was doing really political stuff. Which, I mean, it did well. And then, but a lot of people would listen and say, gosh, you're kind of angry. It scares me. And so then Sarah and I did one that was pretty popular, too. It was just lifestyle stuff.
And it was just normal.
It's just normal. And that's the thing. Sarah would always say, Jared, okay, here's the deal. How's this show going? Is it too crazy?
I'm happy. I'm fine. Okay. I am interested in whatever you have to say. I don't have to.
I have no agenda.
I'm just sipping some water and hanging out.
Because you have no agenda, I'm suspicious about your agenda. You're sitting there. You got the glass of water. You're looking casual in your clothes.
Thank you.
I'm like, what's your deal?
No, I'm fine. So what was the deal with you and Sarah?
Well, I probably told you this before, but when I first got into radio and I was doing this morning show really young, I was 20, I think, and 21, and I went from being just regular funny to trying to be funny,
mm-hmm.
And it was a classic rock radio station, so in my head, I did a little focus group, and I was like, what are classic rock guys like? Lesbians. And so I was just, that was pretty much every joke. I would just, every weather forecast, every death dedication, I would try to weave in something about lesbians.
You'd work something in about...
Just something about sexy women.
Two women.
And it was just lame. I became universally loathed. And even my friends who were supportive, typically, I would sprint home to Durango from Farmington, and I would say, did you hear the show today? And they'd be like, well, yes, I'm sure. It was wonderful. It was, I made all my friends lie to me,
they said didn't have a chance. Sorry, I was
no. And in it got it spiraled out of control. It's like conservative Farmington, right? And a lot of oil rig guys. And one day we were interviewing John Elway's trainer. Okay, we didn't get John Elway in this little town. We got his trainer.
Honey, nobody did except whoever had the contract with the Broncos.
That's true.
Just KOA
and whomever broke up he and Janet. But the we're talking to his trainer, and my morning show partner gets off the air, and he says, John Elway's trainer. I said, I said on the air, oh, gosh, I love John Elway. I'd probably give him a tongue bath. Okay, thinking, okay, classic rock, hey, crazy. Well, that everybody in town listened to the station, and everybody from that comment, and I could see how, gleaned that I was gay. And not only just homosexual, living a lifestyle and finding a life partner. No, but like, you know, crazy Christian perception, demon gay, you know, like, yeah. And
there is no other kind of gay for those people.
Well, the way the Christians talk about gay people are the, you know, like the, you know, the Ted Haggards and the Jimmy Swaggerts, it's like they're just like winged penises flying around attacking people. But, and so that to them is what I was. And so I, everywhere I went, it was just all I couldn't get past it. As a matter of fact, I was at a Walmart and we were setting up a live broadcast and I climbed up a ladder to set up this banner because you did everything then, you know, you're, and I'm about to broadcast. And there's these two Walmart employees there helping me out. And there's a vacuum below the ladder. And the one lady says, be careful, don't fall on the vacuum. That could hurt. And I said, yeah. And a little old lady says, from what I understand, you'd like it.
Really?
Yeah. She wasn't even in the demo. And I was kind of flattered. I'm like, you listen. But
she said that to you.
Yeah. And it got out of control.
Did you deny it?
No, I just was like, and... And then, I mean, it got nuts. My the owner of the station came in and said, I want you to hear some message I got. And it's this guy. He's like, tell you what, you better watch that Jared kid. You know, if I don't know how he got the job, but it included something, some reference to how one might get a job in a desperate situation. And it just got out of control. And it all came from trying to be funny when I
you're
wasn't.
Not. Yeah. Yeah. Trying too hard.
Yeah.
We've all done that.
Yeah. Flames everywhere.
You needed a get-out-of-hell free card.
Yes, that's true. Farmington Hell.
You were going to get one there.
And I did. And I, as a matter of fact, ooh, I get a penny and a wad walk-away thing. And they called and asked me to back. I was like, you know.
Say, you don't get to be with me.
Yeah, you don't get to be with me, okay? But.
Oh, gosh, have you been fired in radio?
No.
I have.
No, that's the thing. And tell me about getting canned.
I knew it was coming. I brought in a box that day
oh.
because I knew it was going to happen. And I had gone in and said to this guy, I was at KBPI, this programmer, that I wanted to work more. I wanted to do more. And I was just doing news.
KBPI rocks the Rockies. I mean, how
right,
big is that station?
Right.
Okay, anyway. Yeah, you wanted to do news.
I wanted to do more than just news. And they had me with this guy who... you know, wouldn't talk to me, and I felt like I had more to offer. And so I calmly told the guy, and he goes, yeah, well, I heard you were a bitch. I guess that's true.
Oh.
So I went home that day, and I didn't answer the phone, and it rang. And this was before cell phones and call waiting and all that crap. And it rang and rang and rang, and I knew it was the program director. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't answer the phone all day. And then I went into work the next day, and he was cold. And then I figured I only had a few days left, so I took a box in, like on the next Friday, and sure enough, he said, we're going to let you out of your contract.
Which, oh, that's a friendly way to say
it. Which means we're letting you go. And I said to him, I'll rise like a phoenix. I don't know where I got that.
That is,
but...
you know, was that in the 80s when this happened? Because that would be great in an 80s movie. You know,
yes.
Molly Ringwald saying to Judd Hirsch, I'll rise like a phoenix, and then rising up, like Eye of the Tiger finishing in the credits as you walk out. And you did, didn't you?
Well, I think I did, but yeah. I had no idea what I was going to do. I was just like, I knew that I could do more, and this guy wasn't going to let me. So.
Rise like a phoenix. Oh, how did that not make the Oprah Book Club?
I know.
That is good.
Rising like a phoenix. So anyway, now I'm happy with just doing this.
And
I am.
I'm glad you keep bringing it back, too. But, well, and I've just got this new gig. And, you know, 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I would have never even taken it. I've missed so many opportunities because it wasn't radio. And I didn't see the value of not being in radio. And then you take a respite from radio like I did, and you get back in like I recently did, and you think, oh, okay, I get it. And
I remember now.
This company, Name.com, that just hired me, they didn't have a job for open like this. I wrote them a limerick and a haiku as a cover letter, and they had me in, and I told them what I could do. And that's the thing. When you're a radio person, you don't think you're talented, and you just think you're a radio person. This is what you're sentenced to. And life of insecurity and cream-filled pastries and caffeine. And so, but I got out for a little bit and you find out people are like, oh my gosh, you know, you have presentation skills and you can put sentences together. And
you know,
so,
you are amazing. I don't know why you don't see
I wasn't even
it,
soliciting it
just,
that. But
I just want to say.
But no, and so you go to this place and they want, It's going to be awesome, folks. And I'm going to try to get Joe involved, but there's going to be podcasts. There's Beer Friday. They have a kegerator in their office.
Wow, that's great.
So we work with grown-ups here, and we totally trust you, which is kind of a huge mistake. But I'm excited about it.
Congratulations.
And this has gone on way too long.
Oh, well, so what? Sue us.